The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" And he said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share one with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he answered, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "What is it that we should do?" And he told them, "Do not practice extortion, do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. But John answered, saying, "I am baptizing you with water. One mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, and to gather in the wheat into his barns, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many ways, he preached good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. I have long believed that the task of the homilist is to look at the scripture and spend one or two moments speaking about the context or the language of the scripture so that we begin to connect with the living word of God and wonder what this meant way back when it was first shaped. And then thereafter, to begin to consider what it means now, since what it means now might be quite different than what it meant way back when it was first shaped in the very early church and the church of Luke today. We spoke last week about the Eremos, and those of you who have been pilgrims will understand the Eremos. It's a wilderness, it's not a desert, it's a wilderness. And we spoke about Qumran and the Essene community last week, so you're familiar with that. But the wilderness is not just a place. The wilderness today, as distinct from then, the wilderness is an experience. Those who went out into the wilderness, the Eremos, to consult with John the Baptist were those who had questions without answers, those who felt incomplete in life, perhaps caught in a conflict, some emptiness, some poverty in their journey of life. They'd say, "We are waiting for the Messiah to teach us about the meaning of life, to give us hope, to restore the faith of the people of Israel." So they went out into the wilderness to experience the wilderness, which they brought with them from their own human experience in life. What does this mean to us? Some place in your life, you may experience emptiness, conflict. You may have questions without answers. You may be disillusioned in your life. You may be heavily burdened with loneliness or betrayal or emptiness in your life. And you may stop and wonder, what is the real meaning of life? Am I investing my time and my energy and my attention into a place that will not supply for me the meaning of life. When that happens, we are dealing with a wilderness in our lives and will go into a place of quiet, a place of silence, a place when we begin to understand a deeper and more profound experience of life. John the Baptist will not experience the Eremos until much later. We talked about that last week, when he's imprisoned, he's in darkness, he's facing death, and he begins to wonder. He was once certain that Jesus was the Messiah, but now he's wondering, are you really the one who is to come, or should we look for another? He's caught in a profound experience of doubt, and he sends messengers to say, I am caught in a wilderness of doubt. I am uncertain. I am unsure of things that I once really believed. I'm waiting for the Messiah. And Jesus sends his messengers back to say, tell John what you see and what you hear, which is not exactly what John preached when he was in the desert. So what does this mean to us? About 20 years ago, I went through in my own life an extended period of spiritual darkness. My life was empty. My prayer life was superficial. I had no desire to pray. I questioned things. I wondered about the value of my life. There was an emptiness, a spiritual poverty in my life that went on for a long time. But I covered it up by being efficient. I covered it up by being busy. We do that. We cover up the hungers of the soul with all our distractions in life. And I did things, and I did things successfully, but deep inside, there was a darkness, an emptiness, a certain lack of self-value. I read everything I could find on this. I thought perhaps I'm experiencing asadia, which is a spiritual condition called the noonday devil in the monastic life. And much is written about it. I read everything I could find on asadia. It's a condition of not caring, emptiness, a condition of being lost. Couldn't find anything. I read everything on asadia. But there were two books that really I remember very well. One was by Etty Hillison, a Jewish woman. She was from Amsterdam. She died in 1943 in the gas chambers of Auschwitz. And posthumously, her diaries were published, An Interrupted Life. And she was inspiring in the manner in which she could walk through a horrible time in her life, a time of chaos, a time of conflict, a time when people were full of fear. And she walked through this in total peace and harmony until she finished her life. She was 30 years old when she died at Auschwitz. She had a depth and understanding that I found very enlightening. The second person that I remember reading at the time was also a Jewish woman. And she wrote a book. She wrote a number of books. She was French. Simone Weil. Interestingly, she also died in 1943, and she was 34 years old, but a radical person, a person of extremes. She never renounced her Jewish identity, but she became a follower of Jesus Christ. She was totally committed to Jesus Christ. She had a Dominican priest, French Dominican, who was her spiritual director. And she followed Jesus Christ, but she refused to be baptized because she didn't like the church, didn't like the Catholic Church. We understand that. She refused to be baptized, but she was a mystic. She had these revelations of Jesus Christ. She had a connection with Jesus Christ. She died a natural death. She was a very unwell, sick person. But both of them spoke to me about waiting for the Lord. Wherever you are in your life, you might be caught in a being superficial. You get up someday and say, what's the meaning of life? Is this it? Have I arrived at the place? When I retired here 14 years ago, I had a notion to do weekend retreats for young couples married between 5 and 20 years. And I thought, sometimes these are difficult times. So many distractions, so many burdens. Love can get tired. And conflict can take over. The burdens and the challenges of a day can become overwhelming for young couples. But curiously enough, when I try to find a retreat house that might be vacant, they're all packed. Retreat houses are full. I call my Mara Dolorosa, I call the one in Malibu, Sarah Retreat House. No, no, we're full. People are looking for an experience of the coming of Jesus Christ when they're going through the Eremos. Keep this in mind, that you have to wait for the Lord. It's the meaning of Advent. Don't rush. Don't look for instant solutions. It's a journey. It's part of the journey of life. And someplace in your life, you will experience a wilderness, a lack of meaning, a boredom, a certain repetitive lifestyle. You may compensate by all our distractions we have in life. You may go to Disneyland every week. You may go to Las Vegas. You may go all these places. But they're all just diversions, and they do not begin to meet the deep and profound emptiness of the soul. Now, Simone Weil, in her very wonderful book, Love in a Void, Where God Meets Us, says this: the danger is not so much that the soul should doubt whether there is enough bread, but that by a lie, the soul may be convinced that it is not hungry. We'd be convinced we're not hungry. And we console ourselves with all these passing things and all the consolations of a day, and sometime they all run out. Then I find myself in the wilderness. Maybe I'm lonely, or I'm caught in a place where there are no answers. And I fall into a darkness, and I have to wait for the Lord. It's the whole meaning of Advent. We're waiting for the Lord. And Jesus Christ is born into our humanity. So Jesus Christ is close, even though we don't always know that Jesus Christ is this close. Why don't we know? Because we're caught in all of these superficial things that are going on, and the retreat houses are full. I saw recently an interview with Clint Eastwood. He's 94 or 95. And he was asked, how do you stay so active and so young in spirit? And he said, when I get up every morning, I say to myself, don't let the old man in. Sounds good. Advent. The Eremos. Get up in the morning and say, let Jesus Christ into your life. That's Advent. Not all the shopping and all that stuff. Let Jesus Christ into your life to lead you to something deeper, something more enduring, not the passing consolations, but something I can really rely on, something deeper in my soul, something that touches a depth inside of me, and not the little adventures of life that are here today and gone tomorrow, or all the gifts we'll get. They're good. You know, years and years ago, I was on a long sabbatical in Asia, and on my way home, I did a lot of shopping in Hong Kong. So I brought lots of gifts to my grandnieces, little girls, and they looked at the gifts, and then they moved from one to the next. And after a half hour, they were playing with the boxes in which the gifts came, because they're all so passing. We invest ourselves in so much that is here today and gone tomorrow. We get in conflicts about things that really don't matter. Look back over your life and find the things that you got in conflict about years ago have no value today. So, wait for the Lord. Begin your day by saying, I let the Lord into my life today, and my day will have meaning. Amen.